You've heard the buzzword for years. Scale onboarding, CSMs should be doing training, digital is a strategy, not a segment. But here's the truth. Most customer success teams are juggling a mess of tools, changing priorities, and have barely enough bandwidth to breathe, let alone scale. That vision we've all been chasing, it is finally real. Learning isn't trapped inside an LMS anymore. It's embedded across the entire customer journey. And that's where Skilljar, now part of Gainsight, is changing the game. Skilljar is becoming the backbone of scalable self-serve learning, whether it's in your academy, inside your product, in your community, or beyond. And because it's integrated with Gainsight's customer OS, it connects to where your customer data and your CSMs already live. This isn't theory, it is happening now. Companies like Airtable, Zendesk, Okta, Miro, and Asana are already doing it, with Skilljar and Gainsight leading the charge. So if you're ready to stop duct taping your customer education strategy together, visit Skilljar.com today. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory, where we explore, you know it, how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and the bad advice that we always get, which is going to stop our growth dead in its tracks. I am Dave Darrington, your host for today, and today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. It's just me. I've been wanting to do a solo recording for some time, and today I'd like to talk out loud about how I think learning itself is changing, particularly in this B2B SaaS, the business-to-business software as a service world over, you know, the last decade or so. So for this episode, what I'd like to do is begin with framing this up about now in this day and time in my role, I've moved into more of an education services position. Would it still retains all of the customer education programming and tooling that we've come to know and love? And things are a little bit different. I've been, in my own thinking, watching these two fundamentally important business learning modalities, if you will, kind of merge and come together over time, and together all of these programs, all of our remit for how do we do learning at scale in big enterprises and small businesses, everything in between. How this is coming together and changing in now it's 2025. Okay, so let's step into this slowly. And I always like to do a frame up, or in this case, I'm actually going to get to a hypothesis. And that's relatively simple. What I'm seeing is that education services and customer education are converging. One was built for revenue and the other was for outcomes. And our future blends both. So this is where at every step of the game here, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to kind of talk to myself a little bit. You know how that goes. So this is where I would say, okay, Dave, what happens when the discipline that this has been around for decades, where we would package and we sell training, becomes a discipline that now drives success? It's different. Revenue to success, outcomes, right? And that's a question I really want to wrestle with today. Wrestle to the ground, beat it down, talk about it. And okay, so I'm going to answer my own question. This may take a little bit of time, and that's okay, because what I'm going to use is some storytelling and experiences that I and others have had over, again, going back a decade now to when I started at Gainsight back in 2015. Okay, so let's rewind a bit. Back in the day, we'll use that colloquialism a little bit. The phrase that I've used here, education services, has always meant courses, instructors, instructor-led curriculum, certifications. It was formal. It was predictable. It was transactional. And by education services, I mean the vendor provided training, you all know this, the training and enablement offerings that would follow on with the sale of software. Now, if you have been around like I have and to see what came before these really cool programs in customer education, and how we're changing up things and pushing the envelope a little bit about how we present learning to our customers, our partners, and even internal folks, you know that this was the day where someone would come along with a big book, boom, drop it on the desk, we'd hand them out, and we'd go through exercises and workshops, and we'd have an instructor up on the podium, and we'd be working very much like any traditional classroom. There wasn't a long time ago any mention of the kind of on-demand stuff. You may have a booklet, you can read through that. There might be some online things. When I project backward in time to the point where I was working in a corporate environment in a pharmaceutical plant, it was very different. It was all designed to teach the product, the clicks, the all of the things that mattered. And historically, this has always been focused as being a revenue generating or revenue oriented service line item. So if I would call up, and right now I'm dating myself, but I used to be in a laboratory, and I'll talk about this throughout this discussion. I was very integral in helping to bring in and train our team in the laboratory on how to use this kind of software. And then from there, I started to do other things, management execution systems, plant technologies, various different things. And we would pay to go to these long training classes. We would pay for all of this training material. And then we'd sit down with that big book and learn. That was a revenue generating function, right? Companies would make money off of selling that training. That was a line item. Now let's come forward again. We're today, or at least within the last decade, maybe even 15 years, where I had an epiphany, and I'll talk about this more in a little bit, was where I started working with the software as a service motif, right? It's completely different. It blew that model apart completely, where we were, you'd have an account executive that would sell you the software, they would sell you the training, they'd come in, they'd give you training, they were gone. Right? It was on us to learn all of that material. And while over time, we've seen such a pivot away from that mode, that method, now software changes weekly, if not daily sometimes. Documentation can go stale overnight. All the things that you were talking about a month, 3 months, a quarter, half a year ago might be out of date. All of this stuff means that we can't do things necessarily in the same, well, we can, but to keep up to date, we have to change the way we do. We had to move much more quickly because our industry demanded this, okay, I need training today. This is my thinking, so feel free to challenge me on that. I feel like that pressure, that we can use the term agile, this constant delivery cycle, this I'm paying monthly for something, forced us to grapple with the reality of how learning was changing for us. And we got to this different place where the world started to demand of us, hey, you know, you don't even have time to sell this as a product. Stop selling learning necessarily as a product. Make it a part of that experience. It is part and parcel to, I purchased this, there are things out there to help me learn. I can learn it on my own. So let's slow down again a little bit more. And when I talk about customer education, I'm thinking of the learning function a software vendor builds to not just show customers what a product does, but instead rather help them understand why they bought it, how to use it effectively, not just as an individual level, but at a business level. And most importantly, what is it they desire to achieve? What is their desired outcome? This is, if you hear me talk, that is a customer success language. What is your desired outcome? What do you need to do? What do you need to learn for us together to help you get to that. It's and increasingly so, it's not about somebody implementing software for you or clicking the buttons for you. You have to learn this. So that outcome is now we're flipping the tables. It's about adoption. It is about getting value and customer success, not just chick. I checked off the training on a compliance training thing. It's I got my enablement. I did my training. Now I can move on and ignore this platform like I've been doing before. Right. Okay. So now this is where I have some self dialogue a little bit. And in the last decade, maybe even 15, 20 years, as we've seen this transmogrification of a traditional kind of approach for learning software or largely anything, right? This could be manufacturing. It didn't have to be necessarily software, but this works. Did we gain anything by, did we gain speed? Did we gain velocity by changing the narrative, which, you know, we can talk about all the things. Customer education lowers the bar a little bit. It focuses on getting to market. It allows a tolerance for errors. It focuses on, yeah, speed. We did gain speed by moving into a customer education type methodology. But did we lose something? And that's where I keep asking myself now that I'm going to bring this into the picture here. I've intentionally spent time over the last decade in different kinds of learning environments. And I think we've lost something. And that is now where does customer education end or expand? Where does education services change? I'm coming in terms of, I need to have a conversation with myself and with you about what learning in business is really about. Okay. So that's where we're going to start today. We've talked about the framework. We have these two different kinds of approaches. And now my hypothesis again is they're becoming one. And that's where I think we all need to grapple with and talk about, well, what do we even call this thing? Okay. So now is where I want to set aside a little bit and talk about me in as much as that for this podcast, I think, again, going back to 2015, I started at Gainsight. And when I joined Gainsight, my goal was to come in and help them actually specifically grapple with one section of their market that we were challenged with at the time. And that was the administrators. With the Gainsight application, like many applications that you may use, it's kind of a blank slate. It's, you know, you can do anything. Where do you start? And I had a light bulb moment at one point when I was starting to engage with administrators and technical users and business users and our customer success managers and everybody that was involved in this motion of helping our customers really grok what's happening with this platform and how to use it. At the time, what was also interesting, and I was very, very interested in how this is going about. Here I am in a startup that is squarely in the middle of a B2B SaaS, and it's changing a lot of the narrative that we have, shifting again, going back to what I was talking about, which was that, okay, legacy, old school software, you get a book, you go to a course, you have an account exec sell it, it's a line item, boom, you did training, check it off, now you're using the application, maybe, okay? But today, or in 2015, as I entered Gainsight, things looked very different. It was hard to grapple with at the time because we're still trying to explain what this thing of customer success really was, right? It's a subscription economy. It's now we have to change our language and our emotions and all the things we do to basically we're scared in one context. One part of this is that a customer may be gone in a month, in 3 months, in a year, because I didn't get value out of the product. The light bulb popped on for me is that, okay, well, we can spend a heck of a lot of time doing things the right way. And I was coming in from working in as a consultant, but I'd also been teaching in a university And I've learned and had a lot of good coaching on how to construct a curriculum, a course, courses that come together. I was even fortunate to have mentors and teams that I work with to build an entire degree program at a university. That's quite a bit different than thinking about how you would come into a business and address customers who are quite frankly suffering. And they're suffering not in a pain, physical pain way, but an emotional and business pain kind of way. I need to get value out of this. My job is on the line. Or you're a VP that says, I've paid for this application and I need to get my team to use it. Or I'm an individual that's like, what is this thing, right? What is this software? And you're thinking about Gainsight. There was a lot to overcome there. There was a lot of different things to talk about. So coming out, or actually somewhere within that journey, probably 2016, 2017-ish, I'll tell the story of this is where I met Adam Evermescu, our co-host here at C-Lab. And we clicked and we realized that it wasn't just the two of us. It was many of us that were grappling with this, how do I even want to frame this up, is this dichotomy, this opposition between this impulse to do things in a conventional sense, to do training what we call the right way or the way it's always been done, versus now I'm living in a startup and I have to get results today, tomorrow, next week. I need to train a customer. I need to get an outcome. And I'll get into this more. I don't have the same kinds of setups. We are, as practitioners and leaders, are charged with helping, and this is where the customer education part came in. We're moving super fast. We are these smaller companies, these startups, or I kind of like to call them, growth companies, because they're different in that they're usually funded by venture capital. There's a lot in the line. There's investors. There's so much emergent pressure to get to market and to help customers get the value out of that. The way that we had been doing that prior to customer education is what anybody with motivation could build some kind of training and go with it. Okay. So again, going back in time, I've told you I used to work for a very big company in pharmaceuticals, and I spent a lot of time working with folks in information technology, helping that organization bring new platforms into place. And these weren't, while they were more on-prem, you'd install them on a server and you'd do all this kind of work, it really wasn't particularly different than the software that we have today as far as the technical complexity of it. End users might have an easier time, but the people that are really setting it up and trying to get value out of it, it's hard. And we didn't have to move as fast, though. We had timelines. They were realistic. I think it's funny because I like to put this in here. At one point, I even owned our manufacturing plant's labeling department, where they would put labels on containers and that whole process. It's crazy. I own things about data acquisition and data collection and research and development. And I learned just so much about different kinds of technologies really fast, and had to use my background. And like I say to people, I'm a chemist, master's degree in chemistry, and I learned a lot. And what I found that I liked about that, and what I ended up doing, is being in computational chemistry, bridging my career into working with the software that would drive the work that we did in a laboratory. Or later on, I worked for a company that did molecular modeling. And there's so much learning in all of that, not just about, and this is what I discovered, it wasn't just about the platform and how it worked, but it was about the people and how those people would receive this information, how we had to truly change the way we were doing our training, because we had that objection from an individual. I don't want to learn this. I've been using this system the whole time. Or leadership's like, how are we going to get value out of this? And how much time is it going to take? I didn't have answers to that. But in that time, I was still, frankly, doing a kind of customer education work, which is working with people, figuring out what motivated them, figuring out how to get them small little bumps. This turned into a career for me. And that's how I became, was time in the middle, so in the thrall of learning and education, and why I truly like customer education. But since I've been working with startup companies and we have this remit of getting to market fast, I realize that that kind of where I'd be in academics, or I'm looking back to the kind of book-like training material, its features, its clicks. That old school stuff just doesn't work anymore. Did it ever? Kind of, when there wasn't anything better, but it's not that the playbook, the run book that we had for doing training then wouldn't have been different had we not had the technology and the tooling and the things that we have at our disposal today, like AI, like transcription, like you name it. We have the ability to do so much more in a very short period of time, and that's only going to get crazier. Let's continue the storytelling a little bit, because I feel like all of these different factors have pressured us to really try to change and do things differently. What happened in 2019, 2020? COVID hit, right? This was an international global pandemic. And while in some ways we were kind of moving this way anyway, what happened to us truly in 2020 is that the in-person component, the traditional formality around training that we always used to have, and trust me, I know, because the company I was working for was in actively building a classroom, right? So we could bring people in when we have labs, we have computers, we can train people. We couldn't do that anymore. And since we were already leaning into virtual because companies were saying, hey, you know, if this is expensive, can we do this via a WebEx call or whatever, or go to meeting at the time? Zoom was starting to emerge then. Clearly, it emerged then because they blew up after COVID. We had to go digital. And that was a massive forcing function for us. It was a moment of acceleration when every single company out there suddenly became a learning company. And those, dare I say it, old school training approaches with classroom learning, they could not really get over that hump very well, not without losing a lot of people, them tuning out, because guess what happens when you're on a webinar, you're on a Zoom call, I'm going to turn off my mic, I'm going to turn off my video, and I'm going to just kind of bliss out and check email. That happens because people are not motivated and there was nothing exciting about it. We had to change that. Dude, are you going to sit there for 48 hours? No, I don't want to, because when I'm in a classroom, at least I've got the person next to me I can talk to. We have breaks, you know, you're physically there, you can move around. Online, it's very different. This episode is brought to you by Parda.io. Parda is a next generation authoring platform built for customer education. Okta, Versanio, Miro, Writer, and many other fast growing companies rely on Parda to stay in sync with product updates, build customer learning experiences, and manage content at scale. With Figma-style collaboration, granular branding, built-in localization, an AI assistant, seamless skill jar integration, and more, Parda lets you scale customer education the way it should be. Fast, flexible, and collaborative. To learn more, check them out today at parda.io/CLab. That's parda.io/CELab. Okay, so I'm going to bring you to current now. Okay, all that past, all of that discussion was meant to provide some narration to where I am today. And now this is me, Dave, you know, taking off my work hat for the moment and talking to you as my friends and our audience, that if you follow me on social media, you might have seen me not show up as much. I haven't been out there as frequently posting like I had in 2024, 2023, where I was accelerating the brand, the message about CLab and about what we're trying to do. And now I have been very heads down. And I'm not going to make an apology about that, but I feel like in some ways I should. Yet I know that both Adam and I have done this at various points in our time. We've moved into a different role and then we've gone all in on that role to learn it, to learn the people, to learn the environment, to learn the culture. I have been heads down back into a large corporation, an enterprise business, software company that is actually even more exciting because this company has bridged what I used to use back in the day. And in fact, early in my career, I was using Jira, an Atlassian product, and it's very different than it was back then. Since joining Atlassian, the focus on education services has come really squarely back into the picture for me. But, and I'm saying this and I'm reflecting on a couple of things back in, I think even when I was Gainside, I had a title of like manager education services. And I'd look at that and then I'd go talk to people, say, mentioned Maria Manny Chaplin at TSIA and other people in the market that had always been doing that education services for enterprises, for big software companies, right? It's a way to do it. But now I'm coming back to this. And I feel like it's very different in a way than it had been before. Things have changed and evolved. For me, maybe for the market. Actually, I think all of us have changed, particularly we've gone through a lot over the last decade or so. Like I proposed in my hypothesis, I see that there's this universe of learning that's inclusive of so many things. Customer success, I can point to episode, and I think I know it offhand, 76, where Nick Mehta joined us from Gainside and talked about how customer success is integral to, or learning, education, customer education is integral to that function. Everybody's learning all the time. We're all educators in some way, but we don't look at it like that. If I'm a CSM, what am I doing? I'm working to look at all the signals and indicators of health for a company, this company I have in my book in business, and I'm truly wanting for them to succeed, right? It's not, I'm just closing a deal, I'm selling it, I'm moving on like an account exec. I am truly with them riding range with that company to make sure they're getting the outcomes with a little bit of a nuance that I want them to be successful because that keeps me employed. It keeps our company growing. And then we're working together in a completely different and nuanced way to advance the softwares that we're developing. It's really exciting. So other fields, enablement, we might even talk, we're talking now with advisory services. Sometimes you're going to get into enablement with the customer, right? We're transcending all of these different kinds of functions within our companies. And it really puts us back into that framework. Well, what are we offering to our customers now that I'm in a much bigger organization? We are ourselves, you know, tens of thousands of people, and our customer base is in the millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. There are so many learners out there and people that are using Atlassian products every day. And that's why I was attracted to come to this organization to work with it. Now, what I think today and what's been fascinating to me, and I'll say hello to my team out there and the broader team at Atlassian that I'm working with in many different roles, is that what we've done in customer education has been seen and heard and felt kind of like an earthquake. It's changed the landscape, right? Or tsunami. I don't know. I think it's a little bit more subtle than a tidal wave coming over the land. But what we've been doing through the last decade, and we've named or labeled customer education, has changed the way we think, or definitely the way I think. There's an article, I'll put this link out there soon, from TSIA, that I was really interested to read this because it talked about a shift away from, and this was talking from the perspective of education services, the shift or migration away from revenue to adoption. That's really interesting to see, because that is this subscription economy coming full circle and changing an industry in a way that we've practiced all along. And by merit of that, many different parts of our programming also will have to change. So now what I want to do is step aside a little bit, or step back and talk about, if you can imagine, a spectrum. On one side of that spectrum is customer education. On the other side of that spectrum is education services, or traditional type education we've had in the, you know, think about an Oracle or a Microsoft or something like that. Very big company, services, B2B, you would expect to pay for that as a line item, but customer education is on the other end of that, which is different. So on the customer ed part, I think largely it has been best suited to startups or extremely fast moving software companies, not necessarily in a pre-IPO state. A lot of the times you'll hear me talking in the language of VC people or, you know, SaaS people. It's, we have series or rounds of funding. They go by alphabetic order, A, B, C, whatever. You even have a seed prior to that. And typically the trajectory is that we either are motivated to be acquired, which is a little bit easier lift, or IPO, if the dream hits, that we have enough critical mass as a platform that we can exist on our own. And now we're an exited private enterprise type company. There's a lot of play within that. But the reality that we've all, I think, been faced with is that the environment's different. It's smaller. You have less folks to coordinate with. You can get started faster. And our goal really has been not to over-index on spending a lot of time building stuff in a formal way. No, we got to get to market. We've got to make scalable content. It's got to be community-driven, and it's got to be success-based, outcomes-based. The characteristics of that kind of learning are different than what you would find as we move to the other side of the spectrum. And that other side of the spectrum is what we call education services. That's the more what big enterprises do, right? Or what enterprise businesses do in general, where you would go out and hire a professional who has architected and delivered training in a conventional sense for learning your platform, your products. The features of this are a lot more structured. They're a lot more instructor-led, not always, not today, but I think the formality or the traditional part prior to having learning management systems like we do today, it was easier, right? We can more easily create an instructor-led class because, you know, the rule of thumb, it could, for 1 hour training live, it could take about 30 hours. For 1 hour of training on demand, yeah, upwards of 100 or more potentially, because you want to polish that and have that scale out better. And also it was revenue-based. Like I said before, revenue is what we use to maintain that educational function, meaning I have to hire trainers, I have to hire content developers, I have to blah, blah, blah. And ideally, I'm looking for that to be revenue positive. That changes everything. So we're going from success to revenue. Is that still the way it is? I don't think so, because I see more of a softening of that. Okay, so today then, to validate my point, most of us, I think, live somewhere in between these different ends of the spectrum. And maybe there's some other ones in there. And we're trying, whether we know it or not intentionally, cognitively, we're trying to blend these two motifs. And I think this is a necessary transition for all of us to grapple with. And as a collective, as a community, work to expand learning, particularly business learning for software and other fields, I like to think leveling up into more of that customer experience. There's a lot of words that we're playing with out there, but it's the experience of putting all these things together to learn how to drive outcomes. Cool. Okay. Now, going a little further, we talked about this spectrum, and now I want to talk more about risks and the kinds of things that you're doing within these different flavors of learning in business, again, focusing on software. So from a traditional, more traditional education services approach, I really feel like we can get stuck in a few areas. And I've seen this, I've had to do it before. It's revenue first thinking, right? It's, okay, well, I have a leader, I look and I see I have an education team, and I want that education team to generate revenue. And that way I know that team, like sales teams, they're profitable. They're paying for themselves. They're paying for the program materials. And ideally they're bringing in extra stuff so that, hey, that's cool. They're pulling more than pulling their weight. Okay. That's interesting. I guess that's important in some companies today. If you're a company, for example, that's set up just to do training, right? If that's your entire remit, you're a big company that you're building programs and blah, blah, blah. Cool. But if you're a business that's selling your own software, are you in the business of selling training? Probably not. Our goal now is more adoption. It's more expansion. It's more the WIFM. Why am I using this thing? How do I use it more effectively? How does it make my day better, my job better? And if anything, at the bottom line is that I want to avoid my customers churning. Another bullet in here would be staffing. So in industry, and from the industry perspective, if I'm running a traditional education services organization, I'm going to find people that know how to do this, that have been working in the field 10, 20 years or so, and have that legacy experience by merit. They know how to do it. They know how to run a business. They know how to generate revenue. They know how to sell. They know all that stuff. However, a risk in that kind of approach is one that I would play the intellectual diversity card, or that we're not taking necessary advantage of new, more modern approaches and perspectives to where, for example, if I'm looking on one hand of a, I'm hiring into a revenue-based and department, a leader, I want a leader that's not done it before and they can generate revenue for me. That's first and foremost. But that may be neglecting on the opposite end of the spectrum, someone that's come in with a more community-driven environment with new modern technologies, learning systems, AI, all that kind of stuff. So we're impoverished a little bit if we don't have some kind of balance that we seek. And then programming itself, the content, because we may be back, and I don't really mean to say this in any neglectful or deprecatory way, but I throw around the phrase old school a lot. You could be thinking, okay, I've got a deck and PowerPoint, and I am putting butts in seats, and that's what's important to me. And cool. Okay. You know what? I'm going to say it the hard way. Nobody really cares about this anymore. A company, an individual, a team, they want to learn, and they want to learn as fast as they can, and they want to get out the door and use that product. So if I'm going to expect somebody to sit there in a 4 to 8 hour class over a period of a week, that's a lot to ask people, because we're neglecting the business work they have to do just to learn a new product. Okay, cool. It's a lot. Okay, well, let's flip over to the risks behind customer education. Now, there's other completely diverse flip side risks to that. It's okay, I have a B2B SaaS company and I have nothing. One of the risks is not starting early enough with finding someone who can tailor a program with on-demand and other resources together. One is not having resources, meaning you don't have anybody. You have to have people volunteer. They're going to do it whether you like it or not. People, particularly in customer success roles or other roles where might be a solutions engineer or an implementation person or a project manager, you're going to build training, right? And is that a good or bad thing? No, it needs to get done. But the challenge here is that you, by merit of not having paid resources that are have a remit to focus on education, good, what is defined as good for training goes out the window. You have no idea. Most of us as individuals who've gone through schooling for most of our lives have seen training done, and we generally know what it looks like, and it's probably going to be good enough. But the flip side of that, again, I've hired in educational services, I've got a team of trainers and instructional designers and people that have done this forever in a formal way. They know what they're doing. They know how to make good, and they can test that and prove it, right? Think about a certification program where you're going all through that scientific analysis to make sure that your cut scores are right and all this, as opposed to someone who just puts a pop quiz up and calls it a certification. That's got risks involved with it too. Another thing that I would say here is that there is the tendency to over-index on-demand, the on-demand component of learning, meaning, okay, well, we made a knowledge base and we put tutorials up and how-tos and whatever. Maybe we have a light LMS that we put some stuff into it. But at this point, we're generally leaving it up to the customer to go look at that and to find the motivation to consume your content. Whereas the flip side of it, Yeah, it's on, it's agile, it's anytime, but then do you, it's less tailored. It's bringing up, you've got to be personally motivated, and this might not be relevant to your unique corporate environment as a customer and what you really need as an enterprise type user to not just as an individual learn, but as an organization learn. And there's cohorts and things within that. So often you're having a more generic first pass type training. And again, I'm not saying anything negative about this because that's where it starts. The other risk that I think we also have is that we may in these environments, because we don't have revenue, we don't have funds, you know, we're just throwing some slop together sometimes. We have that risk of not actually hiring learned professionals with backgrounds in adult learning, learning and development, enablement, or whatever. People have done the craft for a long time. We're saying, Jane, cool, you're excited about this, you could do it. Okay, Jane did it. Is it great? No, but it got done. But we do need those people with the understanding and the experience to wed together with those who don't have that, because it's all learnable. And one person with that kind of experience and an open mind and flexibility can go a long way to helping a customer education team evolve. And when I mean evolve, I'm going to talk about that here again soon. Okay. One more thing is, I've talked about the risk in both, but then there's some universal risks and challenges that I think are present in all businesses. This is where I'm going to riff a little bit, because there's some things that I'm testing out, and feel free to challenge me a little bit, but this is just my personal and professional point of view on what I'm learning. First off, I'm going to bring this up as a contentious perspective. Let's talk about a maturity model or a playbook. I don't think that's always relevant today, that particularly as I'm stepping into a larger company, what I used to be able to do in a smaller company, I have to throw out the window, right? It's okay. Well, I have this and this, I have a training, I have trainers, I have training material, I have a university, but there's other problems to solve now. And that was not really a surprise, but kind of. Every company has gaps, and you could try to structure as a, I think a maturity model actually would work better in a pure customer education world. But now things are a bit different when we're looking in within the context window of customer or education services. So what I'm learning is your approach needs to put all of the experiences that you have and others, the diversity of thought and talent, look forward, not back. I struggle with this too, because now we're in a completely different world. And there are also absolutes, like you need to have on-demand content and live training, but the when is what's different. Another point of view here is that customers today, I think this is universal. And when I say customers, I'm going to break this down into different groups, but at all levels, customers do not want to pay for training. Okay. I can give you tons of examples, but you know what? They probably just think, and I've seen this time and time again, oh, well, what do you mean there's no training? I thought that should be part of our process, but you might've scoped things out and just didn't cross your mind. Maybe you didn't have the packages. Maybe you do, but it wasn't what you incorporated to sell the product. That's a gap. Many people, to my point, just might forget about training on both sides of the table with a customer and a company. They just didn't think about it. And now I've seen many a case where we implemented something, not where I'm at today, but in other places, we've implemented something and training wasn't on the table. We completely whiffed. And then guess what? We've got an adoption problem, a usage problem. Then if we step aside from that, you may be working with a stakeholder or a champion that may have just had a bad experience. That might've been their own schooling. You know, they went to college and hated it, or they've gone to the butts in seat type training and they just despised it. Or it might devalue in their mind what good training and effective training actually looks like, because they haven't good stuff. Surprisingly, that happens a lot. Education is hard and there's a lot to do, and bad experiences can come up. And then I think one of the biggest ones is this: look, budget, expense, training can be expensive. A company you're working with may have no budget, limited budget, or some kind of constraint. And that when, and now we'll go back to the sale, you know, that might have come up. They go, no, we're not getting, we can figure it out ourselves. It's fine. And then no, they can't. Seldom would I recommend any company figure training out for themselves. It just doesn't really work well. You can try. I mean, in a lot of cases, you have a big company and you have an LMS and you have all the training out there, but how are you going to lead that horse to water, right? How are you going to craft a tailored experience to encourage a team of 100,000, 10,000 people to look at the content you've created when they may have their own enablement program internally? They don't look outside. There's all kinds of things. Okay. Let's take another point. Learners are busy and just don't have time. Expletive here. I'm in corporate. Look, I have tons of software that I have to use day to day. One thing that came to my mind is, you know, I'm using all these different tools. And generally, I just kind of have this neuroplasticity, I think is the word, that I've used all these different kind of apps in different contexts and usually can stumble through and get what I want out of it. Did I have training for using a certain app? No, I have not. What the heck, right? You would think that most companies should have their vendors and a dance with their vendors to bring content and training in for everything that's there. And generally, I can't fault my business or other business I've worked for that, because usually it could be there, or I could go and look on my own. But let's put it in this other context too. So, okay, I often don't get training for things. I'm just using a platform. Somebody might mention it. I don't get it. I'm struggling through. I'm busy. I have a lot of work to do. And sometimes I need a kick in the butt to get out there and do it, right? That's where compliance training comes in. Everybody hates compliance training. How do you tone that down and bring it up? No, here's the value for this, for you learning this different tool and why I think you should use it. Many people also learn just by osmosis. I'm one of them. I'll sit in and kick the tires a little bit on an app and go, oh, I get it. Like I said before, neuroplasticity, I've used a lot of apps. But there usually comes a point where I go, okay, I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's the time I'm going to go seek out help. That might be I'm grappling with a really big, complicated integration, or trying to integrate, you know, like, let's talk about a database, trying to bring two tables together to see the information. It could be any various number of things. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm gonna wrap this episode up and stay tuned for part two, which I'll continue the discussion, getting into more of the details about what the future looks like for customer education and education services beyond 2025. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more.